Good morning, Emmaus Church. How's everybody doing? Cool. All right. Awesome. Well, glad to be here with you. My name's Travis. I'm one of the pastors, and it is a joy to be with you this morning. If it's your first time, or maybe you're just getting back into things as the summer kind of winds down, you find us very much towards the end of our series through the book of Colossians. So we've been walking verse by verse through this since April, and now we're coming to an end. We've got this Sunday and then three more weeks after this, and we wrap up Colossians and on to the next thing, which I'm really excited about, and we'll start announcing that as we get a little bit more into August. But there's some really good stuff that's gonna we're gonna be diving into over the next couple of weeks. So hang with us, hang tight as we wrap up this book. But thank you so much for being here. And if you were here last week, then you know where we ended off was Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. So we're gonna pick up in chapter 4, verse 2, and we're gonna go just there. That's all we're going to. We're just going to be hanging out in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. I know one verse, that's crazy, but there's a topic that Paul brings up in here that is just so important, so vital, and it's one of those things that even though it's extremely important, it's one of those things that we can often neglect in our lives. So we want to just spend some time camping out here in verse 2. So if you have your Bibles, Colossians chapter 4, if you don't have your Bibles, there are some on the carts behind you, or you can just follow along on the screen. So Colossians 4, verse 2 says this: "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." And if you can't tell, what we're going to be talking about today is prayer. Prayer. Paul's point here is that we as believers, if we claim to follow Jesus, our lives should be devoted to prayer. We should pray a lot. Our lives should be marked by prayer, by spending a lot of time in prayer. And yet we neglect that. I think if we're honest with ourselves and we ask ourselves, am I really satisfied with my prayer life right now? I think there would be very few in us that would say, yeah, I'm completely satisfied in my prayer life. I don't need to pray any more than I currently am. Like, I think a lot of us, if we're honest with ourselves, would say, no, we need to grow in this area. It's a big deal. It's important. And like I said, we can neglect it sometimes. So how many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, would say that I'm struggling to be devoted to prayer, to dedicate myself to prayer. I'm struggling to find some consistent time in my prayer life. I think many of us would say that. I mean, maybe it's just as simple as you think you're just too busy. Like, you're like, Travis, you don't know my schedule. I'm just too busy. I don't have time to pray. Or maybe it's, you know what, if I'm being honest, like, I don't think it's a big deal. It's not that important. Like, I don't think it's a big deal that I don't spend a lot of time in prayer. Or maybe you're like, man, I really want to pray. I really want to, but then I start and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. It just lasts for a minute or so and then I'm done because I have no idea what to do when I start praying. Well, I hope in our time today that we can address all of these concerns. And I hope by the time we end our time together that we as individuals are growing and seeing the importance of prayer and dedicating ourselves to prayer. And I hope, and my prayer is that we as a church would be far more dedicated to prayer as a result of today. So before we get into really what Paul's talking about here and some practical stuff about prayer, I just want to give a definition so we all understand what prayer is, because prayer is one of those things that the culture uses, that different religions use. Like, they just use it across the board and it can mean different things to different people. So just to be clear, biblical prayer, I just want to be clear on that. And prayer in its simplest form is a conversation. It's a conversation between us and God. And I think it's important to start there, because too often we try to dump all this religion into our prayer time. And it's like, I got to say these words or these words. I got to do it this way or that way. Like, we can just too much. And it's a conversation. At the end of the day, it's a conversation between us and God. And like, just to be honest with you, like, the way I talk to you in conversation, that's the same way I pray. Like, I don't have a different, like, more holy voice than that. Like, this is as good as it gets, okay? Like, that's all it is. Like, it's just a conversation between you and God. But oftentimes our conversations can be kind of surface level, right? Like, you know, hey, how's your day? Good. It's great. Like, they can be surface level, right? That's not the conversation that we're talking about. We're talking about when you have a conversation with like your spouse or one of your closest friends, and that conversation goes deep, and like, you're talking about the real stuff, the facade drops away and you're revealing who you truly are in those moments. You're getting to know that person on a deeper level, like that intimate, deep kind of conversation. That's what prayer needs to be. It's that deep, intimate time with God that draws us closer to God, that teaches us more about him, that grows and strengthens our faith in him. That's what prayer should be. John Knox, one of the great reformers, says that prayer is an earnest and familiar talking with God. I like that definition. Like, it's earnest. It's something that you put energy into, and it's familiar because you're doing it all the time. God is familiar. John Calvin said it's an intimate conversation with God, or a communion between you and God. And I love that because it points to this close relationship. Tim Keller talks about prayer being an ongoing, continual conversation with God that eventually leads to this full encounter with God. Like, you're just hanging out with God. He's right next to you. Like, that's what prayer should be. And like, that kind of relationship building, that kind of deep, intimate relationship that prayer should be leading us to, like, that takes time. That takes time. Like, how can we have a close conversation or a close relationship with somebody if we seldom talk? And when we do talk, like, it's all about us. It's all about me, what I have going on, what I want. Like, it's just all about us. Or we like, don't even know that person that well. Like, we can't remember their spouse's name or can't remember where they work. Like, if you approach a conversation like that, you're not going to have a close relationship with somebody. Like, you can't have a relationship if you don't talk, you don't know anything about them, or it's just all about you when you talk. But how often does that describe our prayer lives? That we seldom pray. When we do, it's just a bunch of things that we want. That we aren't even speaking truth about God because we don't spend time in his word. We don't base it on his word. Like, that's not the kind of prayer that I want to have, that I think that you want to have. So how do we get to that point? How do we have these deep conversations with God? And man, I'll tell you, like, I'll just be honest, like, this sermon this week was convicting, because if you're in that boat of like, man, I struggle with consistent time in my prayer, I wish I pray more, I want to grow my prayer life like that, I'm with you. That's me. And God has been speaking truth. Like, as I studied this week, as I read verses about prayer, as I read books about prayer, God was like, hey, Travis, you paying attention? You paying attention? Because I'm talking to you right now. I'm talking to you. So this is deeply convicting for me. So I hope that throughout our time, again, that we can get some clarity on prayer and how to grow in that. And Paul gives us three things about prayer here in chapter 4, verse 2. Three things about prayer that will lead us into that deep, intimate conversation with God. And our first one is that we are to pray with persistence. Pray with persistence. Paul starts out in verse 2 here where he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. That phrase, continue steadfastly, means to persist or be devoted to something. So what he's telling us here is that we as believers, if you are a Christian in the room, you follow Jesus, you are to dedicate yourselves to prayer. You are to pray with persistence, meaning that you pray in the morning, you pray in the evening, you pray during the day, and then you pray some more. You pray and you pray and you pray. That's how big of a deal it is. We pray all the time. Our lives are dedicated to prayer. I mean, think about those things in your life that are just consistent, that you do every single day. Maybe it's like you have this morning routine that you do the same stuff in the same order every day. Or like, without fail, you start your day with a cup of coffee, or you end your day doing this routine or this thing. Like, we all have these things in our lives that are consistent habits. And what Paul is telling us here, what it means to persist in prayer, is that prayer needs to be one of those consistent things. It needs to be one of those things that we do all the time. That's what it means to devote yourself to prayer. But I mean, how often is that the case? Like, how many of us would say, yes, prayer is that much of a devoted thing in my life? Do we struggle in making it a consistent part of our lives? Like, sometimes we do. I know I do. At times, because I think we don't realize the importance of it. Like, think about it in terms of this. Like, if you had a life-threatening disease, like you were about to die, and yet this doctor comes in and says, hey, if you take this one pill every single day, you're gonna live. Like, you take it every single day, you will live. But if you miss a day, just know, if you miss a day, you're gonna die. Like, if we had that going on, a doctor said that and gave us those pills, how many of us are missing a day? None of us, right? Like, we're going to take that pill every single day. Doesn't matter how busy we get. Doesn't matter what life throws at us, what's going on. It does not matter, because we got to take that pill in order to live. That's how important prayer is. That's how important our prayer is. It is vital to our spiritual growth. If you want to grow in this new life that Paul's been talking about, if you want to grow in relationship to Jesus, you have to pray. Your lives have to be devoted to prayer. Your spiritual growth is going to be severely stunted if you neglect time in prayer. So we have to persist in prayer. Jesus speaks to this in Luke 11. He tells this parable starting in verse 5. He says this, and he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are in bed with me. Guy must have had young kids. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. All right, that word impudence, that's key. That's a key word. We're going to come back to that. Just circle that if you have your Bibles. Like, just no, that's a big deal. That's a big important word right there. Verse 9, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Okay, so in this parable, Jesus is calling us to persistence in our prayer lives. He's calling us to pray and pray and pray some more. So there's 3 reasons why that's important. There's 3 reasons Jesus gives us on why we should devote ourselves to prayer. So if you're struggling, man, I don't think prayer is that important. Like, Jesus gives us 3 ways on why prayer is so important and why we need to devote our lives to it. The first one is prayer reminds us of our dependence. Prayer reminds us of our dependence. So in Jesus' parable, there's this guy that he's got a friend that comes into town. He's been traveling. Like, you know how it is to travel. Like, you're worn out, you're exhausted, you're hungry. Like, you just want to chill. So this guy comes to his friend's house and his friend's like, man, I don't have anything to give you. I don't have any food, but I know my neighbor does. So I'm going to go over there. He's my buddy. He's going to help us out. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to knock and get some bread. So he goes to his buddy's house and he knocks. Hey man, I need some bread. Open up. And his guy's like, no, it's late. I love you, bro, but go back to bed. Like, your friend's not going to die in the middle of the night with no bread. Like, he'll be fine until morning. I got you in the morning. Come back in the morning. But like, no, go back to bed. I'm already asleep. Like, you're bugging me. Get out of here. The guy says no, but what's his friend do? He keeps asking, and it says that his friend eventually gives in, not because he's his buddy, not because he's his friend, but because of this man's impudence. That word impudence literally means, in the original language, literally means shameless persistence. Shameless persistence, or another way to translate that is unembarrassed boldness. Unembarrassed boldness. So this guy, what that means is, like, this guy who's asking for bread, like, he does not care. He doesn't care what's going to happen. He doesn't care what people are saying. Like, he doesn't care. He needs bread. So guess what? He's going to his buddy's house, and he's not leaving until he gets that bread. And he doesn't care if he wakes up the whole neighbor. Like, he's banging on this guy's door going, hey, man, I need some bread. I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to wake everybody up. I do not care about the ramifications of this. I don't care how I look. I know I'm in my PJs on the middle of the street begging for bread. He's probably got neighbors coming out going, hey, bro, go back to bed. Be quiet. Everybody's asleep. What are you doing? You look ridiculous. He's like, I don't care. I don't care. I need bread, and you're the only one who can give me bread, so I'm not going home until I get some bread. That's shameless persistence, and that's what Jesus is calling us to for our prayer lives. That's what it means to persist in prayer. You don't even care what it looks like. You don't care how it comes across. You don't care if it rubs people the wrong way. You have unembarrassed boldness before God. You have shameless persistence before God. You keep on praying. That's what it means to persist in prayer. And why do we do that, church? Why do we persist in prayer? Why does Jesus tell us to do that? It's because we need him. It's because we're desperate. Because we depend on God for everything. This guy needed bread, and he knew his friend was the only one who could give him that bread. Church, the same thing for us. We need bread from Jesus. We need fulfillment. We need satisfaction. We need him to provide. We need him to give guidance. He's the only one who can do that. We are completely and utterly dependent upon him. So we pray. We pray. And when we realize that need, we come before God humbly. We bow ourselves down before him. We recognize our place before the Creator God. We say, God, we can't do it on our own. I can't do it on my own. I need you. Reminds us of our dependence. See, when we forget our dependence and we stop praying, we think that, man, it's all about us. Like, we got this. I don't need God. I don't need you. I don't need anything else. I've got this. We forget who we depend on, who we rely on for everything. We forget that because of our lack of prayerfulness. Instead, let us persist in prayer. Let us keep praying. Like, how many of us just pray for something once and that's it? Like imagine this guy just asked for bread once. The guy said no. He's like, okay, well, hey, bro, sorry. You're just not going to eat tonight. We'll figure it out in the morning. Like, no, he kept on asking. Like, how many of us just pray for something once and then stop? Or how many of us, when we pray for something, we pray and we feel like God's taking too long. Like he's taking too long. We get impatient. So you know what? I'm just going to take matters into my own hand. I tried it your way, God. Now I got to take it on me. Now I've got to figure this out. Like, how often do we just stop praying? We've forgotten our dependence. We've forgotten that we rely on God for everything. Because if we remember that, we're not going to stop praying. We're going to be like this guy and keep on asking, keep on praying, because we need God to act. There might be something massive, huge in your life, and you need God to provide in a big way. You need God to move in a big way. So you know what? Keep praying. Don't just pray once. Don't stop because you feel like it's taking too long. Keep on praying. Persist in prayer. We are utterly dependent upon God. We need him to provide. We need him to act. We need him to move. We need to give him to give us guidance. We need God. We are desperate for God. Don't forget that. Persist in prayer because it reminds us of our dependence. The other reason why we need to pray is prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. When we pray, things happen. Things might happen quick. Things might happen slowly. But prayer changes things. When we pray, things happen. Like, it changes our circumstances. It can change our hearts. Like, when we pray, things happen. We're told here in Jesus' parable and throughout Scripture to knock, ask, seek after things. We're told over and over again in Scripture to bring our requests to God. Jesus tells us in verse 10, to those who ask, receive. And to those who seek, find. And to those who knock, it will be opened. We're told in James chapter 4, verse 2, you don't have because you don't ask. So what we're led to believe in these passages, according to Jesus, that there are things that God wants to give us, and he's not because we're not asking for them. Like, God has these things that he wants to give and bless us with, and we're not getting because we're not asking. So we're led to believe here, like, if we don't ask, then we're not going to receive. If we don't seek, then we're not going to find. If we don't knock, then it's not going to be open. And this isn't like God withholding stuff, like an angry toddler, like, this is mine. I'm not giving it to you unless you ask nicely. Say the magic word, and then you'll get it. Like, that's not what it is. Again, it goes back to our heart. It goes back to us humbling ourselves before God, saying, God, I need you. I can't do this on my own. I need you. And that attitude, that humility before God, man, God wants to bless that, and he will lavish upon you whatever he wants to give. So ask, pray, ask, seek, knock, do whatever it takes to bring your request to God. Like, if you got some big, massive thing or some tiny little detail, like, bring it to God. He wants all of that. He wants all of that. Like, if you need financial provision, if you need guidance for a decision, if you need healing from sickness or an illness, like, if you need something in your life, bring those requests to God. Ask, seek, knock. Prayer changes things. You never know. God might give you exactly what you're asking for. You might think, man, this is ridiculous. This is insane. But I'm going to ask God anyways. He might just be waiting for you to ask so that he could throw that blessing upon you. We don't know. So you might as well ask. Or what also happens in prayer, when we come to God in prayer and we ask for those things, sometimes, like, our desires shift, right? Like, our heart changes in that moment. We start out going, man, I really want this. And then through prayer over time, God's like, hey, I got something better for you. It's over here. And our heart changes. Like, we're like, I wanted this, but now, like, I really want this. And God's like, yeah, of course you do, because this is awesome. This is what's best for you. And man, I want to give that to you right now. Like, our heart changes from what we want to now what God wants. Things happen when we pray. Things change when we pray. God might give you everything that you're asking for. Or in his love for you, he might withhold and say, I've got something better. I've got something better. It's going to take some time. You're going to have to wait, but I've got something better. Or he might just say, you know what? No, you're going to stay where you're at. You're going to keep doing what you're doing. You're going to not move beyond this thing because I'm going to build so much faith in you. I'm going to make you so much more like me that without this, it wouldn't happen. So no. But he's doing all of this in his love for us. Prayer changes things. And look, I don't understand how that happens. Like, I know it, God's not some genie that you just rub it the right way and like he's gonna give you everything he wants. Like, that's not what we're talking about here. I don't know how this works. I don't know how this works, and it kind of makes my mind hurt thinking about it, because like here at this church, like we hold high God's sovereignty. Like, if you don't know that about us, like that's us. And me especially, like I believe in God's complete sovereignty over all things. He is completely sovereign over every single small aspect of this entire universe. He's in complete control of all of it. He knows everything. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He is never surprised. He is over all things, and he knows how everything is going to play out because he's created it to go that way. Like, he knows it all. I know that's what the Bible teaches. And yet, at the same time, the Bible tells me that when we pray, things happen. Again, James tells us in James chapter 5 that the prayer of a righteous man holds great power. I don't know how those go together. I don't know how it makes sense, but I know that's what the Bible teaches, that God is all powerful. He can do all things. He is all knowing. And yet at the same time, when we pray, things happen. When we pray, things change. So pray. Go to God in prayer. If we really believe that God can do anything, like, we would pray for everything. So pray, and pray some more. Persist in prayer. The last thing for the reason why we should keep praying and persist in prayer and be devoted to prayer is that it reminds us of God's character. Reminds us of God's care. This is the last thing Jesus tells us. Through prayer, we're reminded of who God is. When we pray, we're reminded that God is a good Father, that he loves us, and as a father, he wants to give us, his kids, good gifts, right? Like, he doesn't want to give us a scorpion or a snake. He wants to give us good things. Like, as a dad, I get that, you know? Like, you've got kids in here, you get that. I want to give my kids good stuff. I want to give them things that are going to make them happy and excited and just have a wonderful life. Like, I want to give them good gifts. But I know I can't give them everything that they always want, right? Like, we can't always give our kids everything. Like, my kids want to eat ice cream all day long. Like, I know as much as they would love that, it's not good for you. Like, what's best for you is to eat healthy so you can grow strong and healthy. That's what's best for you. So sometimes in our love for our kids, right, like, we say no. We say no, and sometimes our kids don't get that because they can't see beyond their circumstances. They don't see that this decision, as much as they don't like it, is actually for their best. We understand that as parents. So if we as sinful people can do that for our kids, can look out for the best in our kids at all times and want to give them good gifts, like, how much more is our perfect heavenly Father going to give us good gifts and always be looking out for what's best for us? And sometimes that means that God's going to say no. And that's going to be hard. And those days are going to be difficult. And it's going to be a struggle in those moments to believe that God actually is good, that he's actually loving. There's going to be days, I'm telling you, man, I've been here. I've been, even recently, like, there have been some struggle days. Like, there's been some hard moments lately where it's difficult to believe that God is good. It's difficult to believe that he's still working in our circumstances. It's difficult to believe that he has our best interests in mind. Like, it's hard on those days. It's really hard to believe that. It is, and if you're in a difficult spot right now, if you're struggling, like, I want you to know, I've been there, I'm with you, I get it. There are days where we wake up and life is just weighing on us, and when you hear that God is good, that God's working, that he's gonna bring about all things for your good and his glory, you're like, no, I'm not buying that today. I get it. I've been there. I've had those moments. Prayer reminds us of God's character. And those days where it's hard to believe, when we go to God in prayer, we are reminded that he is a good father. That our God is always at work, even when it seems like he's turned his back to us, that he's silent, that he's forgotten us. He is always at work in our circumstances. He's always working to bring about his glory and our good. He's always doing that. Our God is good. He is gracious. He is loving. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's perfect. He's holy. And church, man, is he faithful. Our God is faithful. We can rely and depend on him no matter what you have going on, no matter what circumstance you're facing. Our God is faithful and he will always come through. Like, I know you've got this timeline and you're like, God, I need you to do this by this date. Like, the Lord knows all of that. He knows it far better than we could, and he is faithful. He will come through. We can put our trust and our faith completely in him. He is faithful. And when there's those hard days where you forget that, we have to run to God in prayer, because through prayer, we're reminded of his goodness and his grace and his faithfulness. Prayer reminds us of who God is. We need to persist in prayer, church. Let's devote our lives to prayer. It's important. It's a big deal. It's through prayer that we rely on God, that God answers our prayers and gives us blessings. It's where we're reminded of who God is. So let's persist. Let's keep praying. The second thing that Paul gives us is that we are to pray with focus. Pray with focus. So he says that we are to continue steadfastly in prayer, and then he says being watchful in it. That phrase, being watchful in it, literally means in the original language to be alert, to stay awake. And what Paul's telling us here is that we are to pray with focus. Our prayer time is to be one of alertness and focus with our mind. Again, like that's something easier said than done, right? Like, our minds are so prone to wander and just drift. And that can be difficult, right? Like, that can be difficult. I mean, how many of us in here are easily distracted folks, right? Like, it's easy to get distracted, right? Like, one of my kids is totally like that. And I know you're like, well, they're young, so they'll figure it out. No, like, I think this is going to mark Livy's life for a long time. My daughter, she's 2 now. She gets real distracted real easily. So let me just give you one of the latest examples. Like, she just would chase any butterfly that comes by, like, figurative and literal. So on Wednesday, my wife, her family all lives in Texas. We've been planning a trip out there for a long time for her to spend some good quality time with her family. We don't get to see them that often. That's a long ways away. So plane tickets are really expensive, so we weren't gonna fly. My daughter also needs tubes in her ears, so she can't really be on an airplane right now until we get that. So we were like, okay, we're gonna drive. We'll drive from here to Texas. And we got some advice from people with young kids that have traveled long distances, and like, you look up like how to do this, how to make it work with little kids, and they all tell you the same thing. Our friends here and all the blogs that we read were like, drive through the night. Drive through the night, your kids will fall asleep in their car seat, they'll sleep for a long time, you can make a long way without any stops, like it's just, it'll go better, like they'll sleep for a few hours, they'll be good to go. So we're like, okay, everybody says to do it this way, this is what we're gonna do. So Wednesday night at like 7 p.m., we set off from our house on the way to Texas. And yeah, they were right. Eventually, our kids fell asleep. It was about 10 o'clock, but they fell asleep. Now, what these blogs did not warn us is if you have a child like mine, like Livy, who does not sleep, this is not gonna go well for you. So like, Livy unfortunately has my sleeping habits. Like, I don't get a lot of sleep. I wake up a lot. I move around a lot. Like, I just don't sleep good. She's the same way. Like, even at 2, like, she moves around a lot. She wakes up a lot. She doesn't really nap at all. So like, she fell asleep at 10, and 2 hours later at midnight, I hear her in the backseat go, all done sleeping. That's what she says every time she wakes up from a nap, or when she wakes up in the morning, she does the sign for all done. She goes, all done sleeping. All done sleeping. I was like, oh no. No, you're not all done sleeping. Okay, you need to go back to bed. It's dark out, it's late, it's night time. Like, go back to sleep. And she's like, all done. All done. I'm like, oh, this is bad. This is bad. And she's not the quietest kid either. So like, she starts talking and playing and singing. And eventually at 12:30, our son wakes up. She wakes up Zayden. He's awake now. They're both wide awake. And Kendra and I are looking at each other like, everybody was wrong. Everybody lied to us. They're all liars. What did we get ourselves into? So now it's like 12:30, 12:45 in the morning, midnight, and we're like, our kids are not going back to sleep. Like, they're wide awake. They're playing. They're talking. We're like, okay, if they don't get any sleep, like, this is just going to be the worst trip ever. We've got to figure this out. So we decided to pull over and get a hotel. We're in Meridian, Mississippi, if you know where that is. That's where we are. We get a hotel. This is our kids' first time in a hotel. So we get out of the car and they are like loving this. They are like so excited. Livy's jumping around, dancing in the lobby. I'm like, you're gonna wake up the whole hotel. What are you doing? She's like singing, yelling, screaming, like, oh, this is bad. This is really, really bad. Everybody that told us this, like, I'm all angry at you. This is terrible. Why did we do this? Let's go back home. Like, this is awful. So we finally get in our hotel room. It's about like 1 a.m. and our kids don't fall asleep till like 1:45. So it was rough. We were struggling there for a while. But they eventually fell asleep. They slept until about 8 o'clock or so. So it was fine. Like, they got some sleep. And we were like, okay, well, we got to wake up and get out the door here. So we finally got all of our stuff gathered. It's like 9 a.m. and we're set out. We check out of the hotel and we're ready to go. And just classic Livy, like we walk out of the hotel doors. We go along the sidewalk. We turn right, go along the sidewalk. Our car's like 20, 30 feet at the end of the sidewalk. That's where we're going. So we walk out the door. I'm like, all right, kids, come with me. Like, we got to get in the car. We got to go. We got a long ways to get to Texas. Like, we need to get this trip over with because we're going crazy already. Like, we need to get in the car. So we start walking. Kendra's right next to me. Zayden's right next to her. We get to the end of the sidewalk, and I'm like, wait, where's Livy? Where'd Livy go? We told her, like, you got to come to the car. Zayden, listen. Like, she has the ability to listen, too. So we're like, where is she? And I turn around, and sure enough, 20 to 30 feet, she's still by the front door. Now, what happened was as she started walking out, she looked down and saw next to the bushes, there's a bunch of rocks in this little, like, rock garden. And you don't know Livy, but she, for whatever reason, has this fascination with rocks. Like, she finds rocks everywhere and, like, wants to collect them, and she just wants to carry them around, like, just an odd child, but like she loves rocks. So she's starting to walk and then all of a sudden, boom, rocks. She gets distracted and I look behind and she's like playing in the rocks next to the hotel door, like collecting as many as she can carry in her little hands. And I'm like, Livy, what are you doing? Get over here in the car. We have to leave. So she looks up. She's like, oh yeah, I was supposed to be walking to the car. So she finally starts walking, carrying this big pile of rocks. I'm like, no, what are you doing? Put those down. So then she starts throwing the rocks. I'm like, oh no, she's going to hit a car. This is terrible. I got to go get her. So I run after her. I'm like, put those rocks down. Let's get in the car. So we finally get her in the car. But like, that's what she does on a regular basis. She gets so distracting. And how often is that just like our prayer lives, right? Like we start out, I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to spend some devoted time in prayer. And then all of a sudden, ooh, rocks on the ground. Let me play with those. Like, how often does our minds just go? Like, we start praying, we start thinking about God, praying to God. And the next thing you know, we're like, I wonder what's going to be for dinner. I'm kind of hungry right now. Or you're like, man, I can't believe that crazy person at work did this. Like, they drive me nuts. Like, I can't believe they did this. Or you're like, I can't believe she posted that on social media. You're like, man, I wonder how the Falcons are going to do this. You're like, our minds just start wandering and start going off in so many different directions. And what Paul calls us to is focus in our prayer time. We're to have focus in our prayer time. If we're going to develop a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus that prayer is supposed to foster and lead us to, we have to be focused. We have to be focused in our prayer time. Our minds are so prone to drift, but we have to be focused. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, you need a plan for your prayer time. You need a plan and some structure for your prayer time. If you're like, Travis, nope, plans and me don't go together. I don't like plans. I hate plans. I live an unstructured life. I'm just telling you, if you approach prayer like that, if you just go freewheeling and just see what happens, I'm telling you, you're not going to get very far. Like, unless you're just really devoted to your prayer life, like if you have struggles with distractions and things like that, you can't just approach prayer like, I'm just going to open it up and just see what happens. And whatever happens is going to happen. You're going to be so distracted. Your mind's going to wander. So you have to have a plan. And the first part of that is you have to actually plan for prayer like you would any other part of your day. Schedule it in. Schedule it in and make that time consistent. Think about your day, however it works for you. What's a consistent time during the day that you can spend focused time in prayer? Where are you alert? Where are you least likely to start drifting off and being distracted? Maybe it's in the morning. Maybe it's in the evening. Maybe it's both of those. Maybe it's your lunch break. I don't know what works for you. But structure in prayer time. If you don't plan for it, it's not going to happen. And when you do start praying and you have that structured time, develop a plan for prayer. One of the things that's really helped me is keeping a prayer journal, writing down who I'm supposed to be praying for, what I'm supposed to be praying about, writing out even like some of my prayers. Like if you look through my journal, like you'll see Bible study notes and you'll see me like writing out prayers sometimes. Like keep track of what you're supposed to be praying for. Use that as a guide for your prayer time. Like it's just real simple. Like you just write down, and the really cool thing about that is like you can write down how God answers those prayers. And like I can look back in my journal and see like, man, I was really struggling here. I was really praying here. And look, here's how over time God shifted things. God changed my heart, or God answered this prayer and he provided in this way. Like, man, that increases your faith so much. And you can look back and see how God has acted throughout your life. So keep track of your prayer. Like you can do that with a journal. You can do that with an app. Like we have technology at our hands. You're like pen and paper. That's ridiculous, Travis. It's 2018. Sure, use an app. There's apps to keep track of your prayer time. Like there's no reason for us to not be focused and structured in our prayer lives. Like you could be like my wife who is just organized to the max. She's got this massive notebook that each day she's kind of set out, this day I pray for these people, this day I pray for these people. Like there's some days where she has one day marked off where she prays for me and our marriage. Another day she has marked off to just pray for our kids. Another day it's for our church. Another day it's for friends that she has and whatever they have going on. Like she has these specific days. So she knows like it's Tuesday. I know on Tuesday I pray for these things. And she's got it listed out in her notebook. She writes out how God's answering. She writes in new prayer requests. Like this is so vital to being structured. Like it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And that way, when somebody says, hey, can you pray for me about this? Like, you're not going to lie and just say, yeah, sure. Like, you actually write it down. You're actually going to pray for them. Like, that's a big deal. Be structured in your prayer time. Keep track of what you're supposed to be praying for. Whatever works for you, develop your system. Like, there's tons of books on this. There's tons of helps out there. Like, I'm not going to say do this because it might not work for you. Find something that works for you and do it. Build a plan for your prayer time. The other thing I would say that's been vital to me is base your prayers on Scripture. Let Scripture guide your prayer time. So something I redid how I do my devotional time a few years ago based on a book that I read and some other wisdom that I got from people. I was really struggling in my prayer time. Like I would typically start out my devotional time by spending some time in prayer and then I would study my Bible. Like it's typically how I did it. And I found myself very distracted in those moments. I found myself not really being able to put dedicated focus time on that. And somebody, like I said, a book that I read and some other things that I was told said shift that, switch that up. Start out with your Bible study time and let that be the bridge to your prayer time. And I'm telling you, that has revolutionized the way my prayers have gone. Like that has changed my prayer life so much for the better. And what they've said to do and some good wisdom that I got is study your Bible, spend time studying your Bible, and then meditate on that Scripture. Meditate on that Scripture. Like we're told over and over again throughout the Old Testament to meditate on the Word of God. And yet, I don't know about you, but I was never taught what that meant or how to do that or what that looked like until I started really digging into this and studying it more. And I'm telling you, meditating on Scripture has changed the way I study the Bible and it's changed the way I pray for the better. Like I've grown so much in the last like 5 years or so that I've been doing this. So typically, like, just again, let's be clear on definitions. Like, meditation, like, to the culture and other religions kind of means this emptying of your mind. Like, you're trying to free yourself of all things and clear your mind out to where you're not thinking about anything. Meditating on Scripture, biblical meditation, is the complete opposite of that. It's the complete opposite. What you are to do when you meditate on Scripture is to fill your mind with the things of God. Fill your mind with Scripture. So here's how this works for me. Like I study whatever passage, whatever book I'm in. I'm in Amos right now. So whatever passage I find myself in, I study a small section of that Scripture. I usually don't go big chunks or big chapters at a time. I study small sections. I study that. I read through it, cross-reference, whatever it is I need to do to try to understand that text and interpret it correctly. And then I meditate on that Scripture. I spend time meditating and then I let that guide my prayer time. So I look at the text, I think deeply about the text. I pray for God to give me insight into the text, give me wisdom into the text, help me understand how this applies to me, Lord. I give him time to do that. I just wait and I meditate and I think deeply about the text. I ask myself questions like, what is this text revealing about my heart? What sins is it bringing to light? What is this saying about God? What characteristic about God is it revealing? What command is it giving me? How is it showing me that Jesus is the one that meets my needs? And as I think about those things, I let that guide my prayer. So if through a text, the Lord brings to light some sort of sin in my life, well, my prayer time is started out by confessing and repenting of that sin. If it's a characteristic about God, then I spend time praising and adoring Jesus for that. If it's giving me a command, I start out, Lord, give me strength to obey this command. Show me how I can practically implement this into my life so that I can live in obedience to you. I let the Word of God dictate my prayers. Let that be the bridge to my prayer life. And then I'll get into those other things that I'm praying. But I'm telling you, that has revolutionized the way that my prayers have gone. I'm able to have much more focus in my prayers as a result of that. So that works for you, great. If not, that's fine too. Like there's not like a clear thing that we're supposed to do here. So another thing that helps me is praying through the Psalms. I don't know if many of y'all are like, you love the Psalms or like, I don't even read those things. Like I'm telling you, they're awesome. And I'm not like an artsy musical person at all. Like I'm the exact opposite of that. Okay, like that's not me. But the Psalms are amazing. And the reason why is because there is not a human emotion or circumstance that is not expressed somewhere in the Psalms. No matter what you're going through, good or bad, there is a psalm out there that speaks to that. And I'll tell you where it's really helped me is in those dark moments, those difficult times in life. Because in those moments where I'm just walking through a mess, like I don't really want to pray. I don't really want to pray. I don't really have the words to pray. And if I were to pray, it would just be all about, God, I'm angry at you and here's why. Which I think is healthy to express your emotions to God. I think that's a good thing. But you probably don't want to spend a full week, 2 weeks, a month doing that. Like you need to take some steps to grow in that. And there are times where like, man, I don't have the words. I don't have the words to say. I don't know how to approach God right now. I don't know what to do. I know it's important. I know I should do it. I just don't know what to say. The Psalms give me words in those moments. When words fail me, the Psalms are there to give me the words. So when you feel like God has turned his face against you, he's turned his back on you, he's forgotten you, turn to the Psalms of lament. Turn to Psalms that talk about God's faithfulness and his goodness. Like there are Psalms that speak to whatever you have going on, and let that be your prayer. Sometimes I just pray those verbatim. Like I just read them out loud as my prayer to God. Sometimes I read them and kind of paraphrase into my own words about what's going on in my life and how it applies to me. Sometimes it's like it's calling for a response. Like it talks about God's faithfulness and that we should praise him. So I spend a few minutes just praising God for his goodness. Pray the Psalms. And the last thing about structuring your prayer time is listen. Listen, if you're gonna really devote time to prayer, if you're gonna seek to have an intimate, deep relationship with God, you have to give him space to speak to you. If you're doing all the talking and praying, you're doing it wrong. And I'll just be honest with you, like this takes discipline because sometimes it takes God some time to speak and we need to be patient. Sometimes his voice is really light and soft. So we need to be quiet, we need to be still, and listen to God. Give him space to speak to us, and I'm telling you, he will. He will. It's gonna take time, some moments, some days it's gonna be really clear, some days it's not, but he will speak. But we have to give him time. Build in that time. So pray with focus. The last thing, and we'll end here, the last thing is pray with thanksgiving. That's the last thing Paul tells us, is to pray with thanksgiving. And I think the reason here is because what we see in this and throughout scripture is that gratitude is the fuel for our prayer. Gratitude is what fuels our prayer to God. I mean, if you're struggling to pray with some level of consistency, I would probably really press you on, is there some level where you're not being grateful to God? Because here's the thing, like, and it goes back to our dependence. Like if we really know that we are needy and dependent upon God, we will be so thankful for everything and we would continually run to him in prayer. But what a lack of thankfulness does is it breeds selfishness. When we have a lack of gratitude in our lives, we become self-reliant. We think that we can handle all things, we can do all things. Why would I pray? I've got this, I can do this, I can accomplish anything that I set my mind to. I can do it all. I don't need God, I don't need prayer. And if we do pray, it's gonna be completely focused on what I want, what makes me happy. It's gonna be completely selfish. James 4:3, I told you in James 4:2 that it says that you don't have because you don't ask. Well, right after that, James says this in verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. See, God wants to give us good things, but our heart in that moment matters. If we come to God asking with a heart of selfishness to spend it on our own passions, God's going to reject our prayers. We can ask all that we want to, but if our heart is not right, our prayers are going to be rejected. Prayers that God hears and that are honoring to him come from a heart of gratitude, come from a heart of recognizing that God's the one that provides, God's the one that acts, God is the one that gives us everything that we could need or hope for or want in this life. He gives us everything that we don't even deserve. It's all because of him. And when we think about that, when we dwell on those things, man, then we come into his presence with thanksgiving. We come to him with a grateful heart because we know it's all because of him. I mean, just think about the gospel. Like, let me read the end of Luke 11 again. We read this earlier, but it's so key. Verses 11 through 13 says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God wants to give us good gifts, right? We've talked about this. God wants to give us good gifts. Why is he able to give us good gifts? Why is he able to bless us, we who are sinful people who deserve wrath? Why is he able to do that? It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. See, Jesus took the snake. Jesus took the scorpion. On the cross, Jesus took on all of our sin. He took on all of our sin, and God's response to him was silence. On the cross, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And nothing. The heavens were shut to Jesus as God poured out the wrath on him that you and I deserve, that was due for our sins. God poured that on him and shut the heavens to Jesus. Jesus took the sting and the venom of the cross for us so that through faith in him, we could have forgiveness. We could have a relationship. We could come to God as our Father and we as his children so that we could come to God with boldness and confidence and ask for whatever we want. Jesus has given us that. We have everything because of Jesus, because of our faith in him and his willingness to die on a cross for us. It's all because of Jesus. And when we dwell on that, when we think about that, it should fill our hearts with gratitude and praise. And that should drive us to prayer. Pray with thanksgiving. So church, let's be a church of prayer. Let's be people of prayer. Let's pray with persistence, not giving up after one time, not being impatient with God. Let's pray with persistence. Let's pray with focus, basing it on God's word. Let's pray with thanksgiving. Let our grateful hearts ignite our prayers. Prayer is so important. It's so vital for us. Don't neglect it. Tim Keller says this about prayer. He says, prayer is the only entryway into genuine self-knowledge and is also the main way we experience deep change, the reordering of our loves. Prayer is how God gives us so many of the unimaginable things he has for us. Indeed, prayer makes it safe for God to give us many of the things we most desire. It is the way we know God, the way we finally treat God as God. Prayer is simply the key to everything we need to do and be in life. We must learn to pray. We have to. So church, to that end, I want us to spend some time in prayer. I want us to spend some time in prayer. Joe right here, he's gonna play for us. And this is the only time I'm probably going to ask you to do this, but typically, those of you that are here at Emmaus, you know how we end our services. If you're new, like typically what we do is whoever's preaching will close us in prayer, the band will come up, they'll lead us in a couple of songs, and we move into a time of communion. We do this every single week. We have the bread and the cup over here on either side of the sanctuary and also in the back. And typically it's, you know what, whenever you feel led, whenever your heart desires to go and do communion, if you're a believer in here, you go and do communion. But today, church, today I'm going to ask you, when I close this in prayer, don't go get communion yet. It's the only time I'm telling you that you're not allowed to go get communion whenever you want to, because I want us to spend some time in prayer. I want us to just take a few minutes and pray. Just a few minutes to pray. Maybe you need to spend some time and just repent of some sin. Maybe you have this massive thing in life that you've been trying to work through on your own and you need to bring that to God. And you're like, man, I don't know if God can handle this. He can handle it. Our God can move mountains and we just need to bring those to God. So maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to spend some time just reflecting on who God is, being reminded of the gospel, being reminded that our God is faithful, that when he seems silent, he's not. He's at work and he will always come through. Maybe you need to just come to the back where we'll have some people that would love to pray for you and with you. Maybe like, I don't have the words to use, so I need somebody to do that for me. We would love to do that. If you need to move about the room, if you need to get on your hands and your knees, whatever you got to do, let's just spend a few minutes in prayer. Joe's going to play for a few minutes. The band's going to come up. And when they start singing, go get communion whenever you want to. Go get communion. But wait just a few minutes, church. Let's not delay in putting this to practice. Like, it would be the worst thing to preach a sermon on prayer and not have some time to pray, right? So let's spend some time in prayer. Let me lead us out in that. I'm going to pray for us, and let's just spend a few moments in prayer. Jesus, we are so, so grateful for you. Lord, you are far too good to us. Jesus, you're everything. Lord, I thank you for the gospel. I thank you for going to the cross, Lord, so that we could approach God with boldness, so that we could be welcomed as his child, so that we could come to him and ask for things. Lord, that's such an incredible blessing. Let us not neglect that blessing. Let us not neglect that you went to the cross to provide us the opportunity to pray. Lord, I pray for all of us in here, those that might be struggling to find consistent time in this, I pray for strength. Lord, I pray for discipline. Lord, I pray that we would be people devoted to prayer. I pray that our church would be devoted to prayer. Lord, you can do incredible things through prayer. So Lord, we ask you to do that. Lord, we love you and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.